Chapter 4. Terror. The Imperial Palace. The Sigillites retreat. Vangarich wondered if the small walled garden had been named as a place of repose for the founder of the Council of Terror, or if it perhaps drew on an even more ancient history for its inspiration. The area was square, about 30 feet across, quite unimposing by the standards of the Imperial Palace. A single log, split in two down its length and shaped by carpenters, formed a cross-shaped bench at the centre of the garden, at a diagonal to the four archways by which the cloister could be entered. The paths were of pure white gravel between beds of larger stones in dark grey and black, arranged something like a floor plan, though Vangarich suspected a purpose more symbolic or metaphysical informed the layout. The Grand Master wondered if there had once been plants here. If so, they had died long ago for lack of care. No mouldering leaf or root or speck of soil remained amongst the sterile rock. Like many other parts of the palace, the Sigillites' retreat had been cut off by collapsed bastions and fallen walls, isolated by the ruin brought down upon Terra during the Heresy War. Only a chance remark in one of the old annals even admitted its existence, and it had taken 3 whole years of diligent investigation for Vangarich to identify its position, and a further 6 to secretly excavate and conceal passage into the garden. Overhead must once have been open to the sky, but now the only light was dim, filtered through a dirty window mesh dome in the roof of the greater palace nearly 1/2 mile above. If one looked above the 20-foot-high walls, the towering edifice of the palace crowded down, piled up on great columns, floor after floor, a teetering mass of dormitories and offices for the administratum. It was as if the garden existed in its own little bubble of reality now, a cave amongst the strata of hab complexes and scriptoria. But here, in the midst of the bureaucracy and madness, was a place of utter charm and utter calm. It was all the more precious to Vangarich because only he knew of its existence. The volume that named the space had been hidden deep within the Librarius Sanctus, where nobody else would find it. The convicted criminal labourers, sequestered from the Adeptus Arbites, had been handed over to the Adeptus Mechanicus for induction as servitors after they had completed their work. Alone, quiet, and undisturbed, Vangarich sat on the wooden bench and considered his options without risk of discovery. It was perhaps the only place in the galaxy he lessened his guard for a moment. It was therefore something of a shock to the Grand Master to hear a delicate cough behind him. He was on his feet in a moment, lasblade flicked from his sleeve, digital weapons glinting with power as he flexed his knuckles in preparation to fire. Venand stood leaning against the inside of one of the arches, her arms crossed, her face a mask of smugness. Her features were young for one of her position, though anti-agapics and age-reducing therapies were a possibility. She was not quite as tall as Vangarich, of athletic build, with short, pale grey hair and a narrow, sharp-boned face. Not unpleasant to look at by any measure, but also not so pretty that she would attract undue attention at a gathering. She was dressed in dirty coveralls, much patched, over a chunky shirt of grey canvas-like fabric. Workman's boots and an oily rag spilling from a pocket completed the disguise. Vangarich realised she must have been forced to masquerade as a menial in order to gain entry to his refuge. He didn't know exactly where the security breach was, but that fact alone narrowed it down to a few possibilities. "Surprise!" said the inquisitorial representative, showing pearl-white teeth in a grin. "Surprise be damned, you wretched woman," snapped Vangarich, rattled for the first time in many decades. "I might have killed you."
"Now, now, Grand Master. At least you have the grace to admit when you've been outdone."
Vangarich sheathed his blade and deactivated the digi-weapons. He conceded the point with a single nod of the head and gestured Venand towards the bench.
"It was too much to hope that I might be permitted just a single place of sanctuary," he said,
sitting down while Venand advanced along the path, the gravel scrunching under her tread. The noise brought fresh irritation, a reminder of the peace he sought being broken. Also, it was just clumsy to be heard so easily, and it irked all of Vangorich's instincts for stealth.
"You can be assured that I will not tell anyone else," she said, sitting on the bench to Vangorich's left, across from him. "I am rather glad you have a little bolt-hole, Draken. It makes me feel safer, knowing that a man who puts himself under so much stress has somewhere he can relax. The last thing we need at the moment is a Grand Master of Assassins getting tetchy."
"What do you mean by that?"
"Your little outburst during Langsung's War Council. It was stupid."
Vangorich blinked, shocked twice in a short space of time, this time by the Inquisitor's bluntness.
"At least I was in attendance, in a position to oppose this disastrous plan."
"Disastrous? Do you think there should be no response against the orc attacks? You might well think that Lansung and his games are the greatest threat to the Imperium, but it is not your position to judge. The orcs will not wait for us to reorganize ourselves, and any response, no matter how late and no matter what the motivation behind it, must be welcome. There is an actual war, Draken, and we are very close to losing it. Perhaps you think your operatives will be able to assassinate every one of the Greenskins."
"If Lansung gets his way, it will lead to a reunification, in practice if not law, of the Navy and Guard. Surely you can see what a threat that poses?"
"Greater than the orcs? Not yet. Let us not get ahead of ourselves. We will burn that bridge when we get to it. You really are starting to overstep your mark, Draken. While you were busy destroying whatever credibility you had left by responding to Langsung's posturing, I have been hard at work protecting the Imperium. Your meddling is causing more problems than it is solving. In fact, have you done anything useful lately? I know you have a cell on Mars. Do they have anything to report?"
In no mood for banter, Vangorich stood up, straightened his coat, and started walking towards the archway ahead.
"If you leave, you will never find out what I was going to tell you," said the Inquisitor.
Vangorich stopped at the arch but did not turn.
"Really? Do you think me such a useful hound that you can feed me scraps at your whim to keep me loyal?"
"I bring a warning."
Turning, Vangorich raised an eyebrow in inquiry.
"Yes, a warning," said Venan, standing up. "You are making enemies, Draken. Powerful enemies."
"That is not news, my dear Venan." Vangorich smiled with genuine amusement. "How nice of you to care for my well-being."
"It is the Inquisition that you are starting to alienate, Grandmaster."
Vangorich kept his tone light, hiding the concern he felt at this statement.
"I thought we were friends, Venan. I know we've had our odd duel, but we are allies, are we not?"
"And that is your other mistake. We are allies for the time being, of a sort. But do not think for a moment that I place any concern for you above the greater protection of the Emperor and the Imperium. We would use and discard each other in an instant. Do not pretend otherwise."
"My other mistake?"
"Your first is to conflate the Inquisitorial representative with the Inquisition. I am not a Lord High Admiral, a Grand Master, not even a Speaker. My position is entirely arbitrary, sustained by the goodwill of my fellow Inquisitors, and no small amount of political games I must play away from the Senatorum. There are many who are beginning to doubt the wisdom of my continued presence in that role."
"It sounds as if you have enemies, not I. I wish you every fortune in your future endeavours away from the Senatorium Imperialis."
"You vain idiot, shut up and listen."
The words were like a slap across the face, sharp and stinging. Vangorich took a step towards Venan, hand half raised to strike her. He gathered his temper and turned the fist into a pointing finger.
"Pick your words carefully, Inquisitor, if you wish to retain such allies as you currently possess. It seems to me that you come seeking help, but cloak it as threat."
"There is movement against me within the Inquisition on two fronts, Draken. Firstly, they believe I have been too tolerant of the excesses of the Senatorum during recent events. In fact, they feel that the entire Imperium's governance has been allowed to fall to ruin the past few decades. They want to extend a stronger, more obvious control over the Senatorum."
"The Inquisition may have absolute authority, but they cannot survive without the cooperation of the likes of Lansung, Zek, and Gibran. Your temporal power is limited by the resources others place at your disposal.
there are some that forget such truth. They believe in no small part, due to the influence of the Ministerium, that they answer a genuine calling by the Emperor. Righteous men and women make for dangerous rulers.
There is another reason for your position becoming more precarious?
My treatment of you, Grandmaster. The Officio Assassinorum is a weapon to be deployed at the behest of the High Lords, not an organization to sit in judgment of them. Some amongst my orders wish to make an example of you and your temples.
We would retaliate.
If you wish to plunge the Imperium into anarchy, whilst it is beset from outside by Xenos of untold destructive potential. They rely upon you, Draken, to stay true to your loyalty and duty.
Bangerich was about to reply, but held his tongue. Could he really fall on his own sword to protect the greater stability of the Imperium? Was he that dedicated? More importantly, did these mysterious inquisitors believe that he would, and so risk everything on the presumption?
I see that you begin to understand the gravity of our situation.
Venand watched him intently as she stepped closer, dropping her voice.
We must indulge in a brief period of mutual preservation. That is why I have come here to your inner sanctuary. I declare amnesty. You will have my full cooperation if you promise me yours.
There was no way Vangerich could take her at her word, but conversely his own promise would be equally meaningless. So why did she ask for it? Was she really that scared of what the Inquisition, or at least parts of it, intended to do?
All right, an amnesty for the moment. Better that we exert ourselves to the frustration of Langsung's ambition than expend energy circling each other without effect. What did you have in mind?
Venand laid a hand on Vangerich's shoulder as she stepped even closer.
Your aim is good, Grandmaster. If we can force Langsung out into the fleet, there is a chance that we can repair some of the damage he has done in the Senatorum in his absence. We might even get very lucky, and he'll be blasted by the orcs. However, simple argument is not going to be enough. Events, my dear Draken, will have to conspire to force the Admiral to move his fat hindquarters onto the bridge of a starship.
What events?
That is what I'm here to discuss.